Great Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you and praise you for your goodness and mercy to us, Lord. We just ask you to be with us in this part of the service, that the word spoken, Lord, may be your word, not just something we read out of the Bible, knowing that that is the word, but the correct revelation for this hour, so we know that it actually is the word. And what we can expect, Father, then at this time, you've already showed us, Lord, what we're into, and our expectation now, Father, have already superseded the shout, in the sense that we know that has been accomplished. We're looking now, Lord, for the power of the resurrection to be released in us as individuals, Father, to get us away for that great secret meeting in the air and the wedding supper. We thank you, Lord, that these expectations we have are absolutely based upon a proof that you've given us, that your word has already come to pass, and we're just looking for the next step. So, Father, we just commend ourselves to you tonight, believing we're going to hear something that's good for us, to help us so conduct ourselves as honorable Christians of the King of Almighty God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I never got very far Sunday morning, if at all, on faith in the mind, because there were some other things I wanted to sort of bring out, and hopefully something was accomplished in that particular area. So tonight we'll look at faith in the mind a little more correctly. That is to say, we'll be studying it a little more thoroughly than the other day. Now, to get any kind of a foundation for this subject, which is faith in the mind, I think one should instantly go to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and just begin to see how the mind is set in the Word of God here as to its particular problems, and or you might say its particular, problems is a good word, and also to its benefits. Now, Paul is speaking here, and so if we just take that entire, at least most of the chapter, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now you'll notice in there that Paul had a vindicated ministry, which was very important as the foundation for the early church. And of course, Paul has been preaching and teaching the people, and you know, of course, that he has to appeal to the mind. And so this is what he's doing here as we get into this subject of faith in the mind, and we'll see how the mind can be either for you or against you, depending how it is utilized. Now, you might say that about everything. That's true. But this in particular is what we're looking at tonight. And he said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, you see, there was a verdict was made to crucify him. The verdict was a wrong verdict. Now, exactly then, what was it that caused the verdict? Well, they had a wrong inspiration on what was actually done by God in their day. So they weren't able to judge correctly. Now, keep the thought in mind, judging correctly, judging the fact. We're going to look at that in a minute. But as it's written, eye hath not seen, your ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared to them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth? Now, you can only really know as you come to a conclusion in the mind. And that conclusion, of course, would be something like they call the double-blind test, when doctors, you know, want to prove whether you got a placebo effect or whether it's something real and things like that. have to do with science, because that's where the word knowledge comes from. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? And I paid particular attention to that verse right there. Knoweth the things of man, he knows them by his spirit. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, it tells you there that the Spirit of God can come and give you enlightenment. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, there's a judging effect going on, so keep in mind the word judging. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, I might just read a definition of the word mind, and it's from the Greek word nous, the organ of mental perception and apprehension, the organ of conscious life, the organ of the consciousness preceding the act, or recognizing and judging the fact. I meant that word judging. You see, it's done in the mind. The organ of thinking and knowledge, that is the understanding, or especially the organ of moral thinking. Now, this mind, the word mind in the Greek, takes cognizance of external objects and denotes the reasoning faculty. In other words, it's able to apprehend certain things that are going on outside of itself, make an assessment, come to a conclusion, and so on. Its chief material organ is the brain. But all the senses serve it actively or passively. Mind is the human side of God's spirit in man. Now, here's where he's wrong on this. As to its source, it is spirit. As to its action in man for intellectual purpose, it is mind. That is the product of the spirit. Now, he's entirely messed up there, because it is not that which does with the spirit of God. It has to do with your own human spirit. That is what you're looking at. Mind, literally, functions through material processes in a material medium, and that is the brain. So it would appear that the brain is the physical organ that's ordained of God for the use or manifestation of the spirit of man. And as Brother Branham put it so correctly, being a prophet, he would be very correct, that the actually the mind is a part of the spirit and deals in the realm of the spirit. But you notice in here, Paul mentions that man's got access to two spirits. Of course, if he didn't have the one spirit that he's permitted and allowed of God, he wouldn't be living. He would just be, you know, he'd be dead. And then the other spirit, of course, that man can have access to is the Spirit of the living God, which can give you an understanding of the things of Almighty God. Now, while man lives, we place memory in the brain, and that's true. There's made up little wrinkles and little places in there that, you know how it is, we use 20% of our brain, or 10%, they tell us, which maybe is closer to 10%. But that's fine, and the millennium we'll be able to use it for a whole 1,000 years and have all the facts, and keep on acquiring all those facts. But while man lives, we place memory in the brain, so it is, as far as a mode or a means of remembering is concerned. But we're going to Luke 16, and in there we'll find that memory and reasoning is actually in a spiritual part of man, and we know that the memory, as far as the body's concerned, there is no remembrance of the Word of God in the grave. So let's swing back here to the book of Luke, and we'll just see this, I think it's chapter 16, all right? The rich man and lift up his eyes in Hades. There was a certain, verse 19, and there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day, And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Now, this is a parable, but it's got a good meaning to it. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, the unseen world, Hades, he lift up his eyes, being in torment. Brother Branham described that. Seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember. So he's going to jog his memory right now. This man is not in the grave. He's already in a state of decomposition, without a doubt. So you're talking to the real personality here, which would involve the soul. And how much of the spirit, I'm not qualified to say, because the Bible said the spirit goes back to God who gave it. Brother Brand said the spirit leaves and the soul leaves afterward. So I can be hazy on this part here because I can't make it too clear to you, because I can't be definitive, except where Brother Branham used the rich young man, the leader who turned down God, who then built many barns and said, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, eat, drink, and take thine ease. And then he made this same person here. So we could well be looking at the man in the integrity of the soul. Now, which is fine by me. I'm not going to push the point. We'll talk about that a little later on, but try to talk something about it. And he said, Son, remember, in thy lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, betwixt you and us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they come to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou would send into my father's house. He's got quite a bit of compassion here. For I have five brethren, that he may testify them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abram said, they are Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded the one rose from the dead. Now that is a terrible, blunt statement, but it lets you know just how far unbelief goes. If a man came back from the dead, told them all about it, they tell me that the history tells us, I don't know for sure, Josephus perhaps, Lazarus was raised from a corrupted state, that was a literal resurrection, that they went about trying to kill him, get rid of the evidence. Nice people in this world. Bless God. So you see what you're up against today? Don't ever think, brother, sister, anybody's going to believe you. Just thank God that you believe what's happened in your heart. You'll never convert the world. You couldn't convert your own soul, so I take a crack at the world. Okay, thus the mind of man, which embraces all mental processes, is not the physical brain, but resides in the spiritual part of man, and he uses the brain as a vehicle, because everything has to have a vehicle to manifest. It's like you have to have a vehicle to manifest. And when your vehicle can go to the ground, God gave you a promise, he would bring it back again. All right. Now, Brother Branham used the same thoughts that used on body, soul, and spirit, and was divided into three parts, where it's put body, then it's put spirit, then soul, then spirit. And they got confused on putting the spirit in the entire inner man instead of the soul. And the Lord showed Brother Branham that it was wrong that they follow these people's, the theologians' concept. So Brother Branham starts out with the five senses, which are seeing and smelling and tasting and feeling and hearing. And then instead of going to the soul, he went into spirit, which included then imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. And then down in the soul, which is faith, hope, reverence, prayer, and worship, where you have the true contact with God. he allowed this theological premise to stand, so we'll consider it to be perfectly legitimate and correct. Now, looking at the fact of the Spirit, which can contact God, or God can contact it, because the Spirit in the Bible is called the lamp of the Lord. Somewhere in Proverbs, I think, I'm not sure. It has within it imagination, which is really reasonings. Reasonings, conscience, memory. Well, you've got reasonings here beside imagination, which imagination then in that particular case would be the ability to go beyond yourself, to think things which are not exactly right. And affection. Now, how right, as I say, they all are. Brother Branham agreed to them. He never did actually preach on them, to my knowledge, to lay it out as a definite substance of thus saith the Lord. But what we're looking at here, just reading this off to you and looking at it, as it has been brought out by other people, and to a degree by Brother Branham, we're seeing that the spirit of man literally has contact with the soul. And the mind, of course, that is in the realm of the spirit, absorbing knowledge from the brain, the five senses, is able to transfer that knowledge into the soul by way of the spirit, so that within the soul lies the one major function, which is choice. So the soul then has the ability to make that choice as to whether it will follow God or not. Now, let's just begin to look at some scripture here about the mind, which evidently is a part of the spirit that we're looking at, and the spiritual part of man, and these functions. And just reading them is going to give us some tremendous insight, hardly necessary to use comments on them. And Paul is speaking here to the Romans, and he says in verse 15, chapter 1, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, that's the gospel, the preaching, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, or hold down the truth, is what they're doing. They hold down the relation. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, or the earth, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, Paul the Apostle bypasses anybody, the same as Scripture did, merely calling him a fool, who denies the existence of Godhead. Now, in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their reasonings, their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They thought they were sophists, very smart. They became insipid, sickly. And changed the glory of the uncorrupted God in image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave more uncleanness to the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own body between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator is blessed forever. Amen. And then right on down, down and down. And in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, which we find right today, literally exemplified in homosexuality, is the actual manifestation of a reprobate mind. And the earth is full of reprobates. And you can see through the reprobation of mankind, you can see the elect are shining forth all the more, and the foolish virgin. At least they're coming into view also. Now, from this scripture we read here, we find that the mind is very functional concerning God, concerning man's spiritual outlook toward God, concerning any spiritual outlook as pertaining to spiritual levels of some sort, and greatly influences every single thing the person then does in the body. So that the mind, though a legitimate and a good receptacle to, or the brain, you could put with the mind association, good receptacle to apprehend what it ought to have, can now literally turn around and refuse everything it ought to have and end up consummately everything it ought not to be in the sight of God and doing what it ought not to do. See, because this is what it's telling you here. Okay, now let's go to the 7th chapter of Romans, because this seems to be about the best book to be in. Verses 23 and 25. And Paul is speaking here. Let's just read a bit here. Verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. I didn't make any provision for it, he said, but I'm doing it. And what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. For then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now he's saying right here, I actually believe, he said, that the things that the Bible sets forth in the law should not be done or should be done. But he said, I find myself agreeing that it's absolutely true that certain things should not be done, and I'm doing them, and I hate myself for doing it. There's certain things I should be doing good, and he said, I'm not doing too good a job at them. So I admit again, then he said, what we're looking at is that there's nothing wrong with the Word of God, it's what's wrong with me. So I need to change, not the Word of God. Like Brother Brand said, don't try to twist God's arm, change his mind about things, change. Let him twist your arm, change your mind. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good which I would I do not, and the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity into the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, they say it should be actually blotted out there, so then with the mind I serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. Now that's not what Paul's trying to bring across here, really, when you look this thing over carefully. It's just he's telling you, well, let's keep reading anyway. Right into chapter 8. There's therefore now no condemnation, them which are in Christ Jesus. And skip that last phrase. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in those weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, so therefore, there's a big difference now between what is going on over here and what's going on here. Because in one place, there is a real problem. The next place, there is no real problem. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after spirit, the things of spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwells in you, so therefore you can please God. You don't walk in the spirit. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. No, you've not you. Well, you're just trying in vain without the Spirit of God. Because you don't have a revelation of the Word, you don't have the strength to carry it out. See? Now, but if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sins. We're all going to die. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. There's your resurrection coming in. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Now, what he's telling you here for this hour is very simple. What you have here is a complete revelation, which, given to the mind in the form of a mental faith or a sense knowledge, is taken by the Spirit down into the soul and translated into a spiritual faith and a spiritual knowledge, which the power of that word released gives you the ability to be an overcomer, even to the extent of immortality in this hour. Because this is not simply in my books somebody telling us that, you know, now that you're born again, you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that's the sign that you're going to come back in the resurrection. This is telling me here that there's a quickening power available which is according to Ephesians 1, to quicken us right now. And that's coming through the Spirit, which is irrevocably, immutably linked to the mind. So you could actually put mind and spirit as one when it comes right down to it. So you're looking at this thing. At least there's an interfacing, an interfunction there. It may be hard to understand, but this is not too hard to understand. And that is, the mind and the spirit are absolutely hand in glove. Okay. Now, what we're looking at here then is that the mind is the enemy of God when it's purely carnal without the baptism with the Holy Ghost. It's purely carnal, the enemy of God, no matter to what height it rises, how great it conforms to standards, how wonderful it brings power to perform, it is still the enemy of God. See? The mind has to come under conviction that it's the enemy of God, that you need salvation. If the mind never comes to that place, no way. Anyway, on the other hand, the mind can be the friend of God. So, boiling it down, the mind is a very peculiar thing. Before rebirth, and even after, if you don't bring yourself in subjection, the mind can be your enemy and literally destroy you. The mind can be your friend and literally build you up and make you what you want to be. See? Now it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How do you know that you're led by the Spirit of God unless the Spirit of God transfers from your soul by revelation to your human spirit, to your mind, so you can discern? All right, let's just say it right here. The organ of mental perception and apprehension, the organ of conscious life, the organ of the consciousness preceding the act or recognizing and judging the fact. The organ of thinking and knowledge, that is understanding. The organ of contemplation. Now you can see all of these things if you go in your scripture, the Psalms, the law, all the things, you know, the prophets, all of it. You can see how this dovetails with what they said. All right, let's go now to Romans, the 12th chapter. Let us begin to see this, the first three verses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable sacrifice. In other words, a reasonable sacrifice is to give everything to God. That's reasonable, because you want everything from God. And be not conformed, or do not be fashioned after this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, the mind must now go into channels that it did not go before. It must relinquish the channels which it formerly pursued and used to take the channels that God sets down that the mind should go into. You follow? But be you transformed, metamorphosized. Is that the right word? Metamorphosized? I don't know. Who knows language? If metamorphosis means change from butterfly to a caterpillar. Caterpillar, butterfly. Cut it backwards. Metamorphosis. Metamorphosizing. Some of those words bug me. There, that's just a good thought. I got another bugs there. Be transformed, transfigured. Oh, start with transfigured. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable praise will to God. Now, it tells you right there, in stepping up in your life as a Christian, you have got to get the mind conforming to God's channels and not the channels of the world. So, there evidently must be some means that we can employ in order to build the mind up, which will feed the spirit, which will feed the inner man, the soul, the Christ within us, and give us this highly desired position. See? That's what you're looking at. For I say to the grace given unto me, to every man that's among you, not to think himself more highly of thing, but to think soberly, as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. In other words, what you're looking at is a revelatory experience that's going to help you through. Okay, now, so we see here what we're looking at. to bring us into a place of character. So the mind has everything to do with character, providing you use the right character substance. Because you will get character whether you want it or not. Ha! That's 100% right. You follow what I said? You will have exactly whether you want it or not. So therefore, there are ways to get this. All right. Romans 14 and 5. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, it tells you right here that concerning some of the things of God, you can come to a place of persuasion in your own mind. That means God has an answer for you. Now, in here, this is a bit skittish. Because it says here, he that regardeth the day regards them to the Lord. And he that regardeth that day, not that day to the Lord, he regards it not. He that eateth the Lord, he giveth thanks to God. He that eateth not to the Lord, he gives God thanks. So you've got two people here. Now, here is where you have proper community inter-character play. This one fellow says, hey, I don't think that it's a good idea to go down there to the shambles, the market, and buy that meat that we know was offered to gods. And the fellow said, what are you talking about? There ain't no gods but God. If you're carried away with some stupid mumbo-jumbo about this meat here, all I see is a hunk of fresh, nice meat at a knockdown price. I'm not going down, he said, to pay Bishop Jones $3.35 for that roast. I can get one here for $1.10. I'll eat it. So he goes home, praise God, thank God, eat a nice roast. The other guy, he can't do that. So he goes down, pays $3.35, eats his roast, thanks God for that. Now, the one man cannot say to the man, I thank God I'm not stupid like you are. You eat jellyfish, you. What's the matter anyway? You're better than that. He says, well, I'm sure not like you are. So you got here a legalist, an Armenian, and a Calvinist almost, at each other's throats. It says, hey, look, the man that eats the meat offered to idols, there's no idols anyway. He has a good meal. He praises God. The other guy thanks God he didn't do it. But you see, you got, in there comes attitudes and judgments. See, now Paul says, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but I'll not be brought under the power of any. Again, happy is the man who condemneth not himself the thing that he allows. So there's latitudes, and the latitudes will be concerning your mind. Now Paul warns this, he said, but listen, you watch very carefully. When you've really made your mind up, it's 100% true according to your conscience and something within you that you know that you can walk peacefully and you won't be pulled this way or that way. Maybe the guy wake up at 2 in the morning with a lumpy stomach and says, oh my, I never should have got the meat out of the shambles. Oh boy. His stomach didn't rebel because of that. He just ate too fast. He was so glad to get the meat at such a good price, he ate too much. Or some of that. So you see, the mind plays a big thing in here. And in there is that power to set a course, a judgment, a principle. Now, this was a little bit abstract here, but Paul brought it up, so I bring it up too. I won't shun, but Paul didn't shun. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, 10th verse. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you all speak the same thing. There be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now there again, we have, hopefully, what this church could stand for, but don't bet on it. Don't bet on it. Brother Branham said, if 2 or 10 people ever got together with one mind, there'd be a rapture. And we got a bunch that got more than 10 right here, ain't no rapture. But I'm pointing out the mind again. There is a mindedness. In other words, the mind is open to persuasion. If Mr. Jones could persuade the men in the church that polygamy's okay, and he performed it so that everybody else was free now, and they wanted to supply that disgusting thing, I guess they're persuaded. There, are they one mind? Could well be. I think a whole church is going to miss the rapture there. You don't preach sin, brother, sister. You don't legitimize corruption. You come against it. Perfectly joined together. What church that would be? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Paul demanded it. Now he said, you've got many teachers, you've got one father. I'm your father in the gospel. Had a lot of teachers. They sort of muddied the waters for poor old Paul. But we're looking at the mind again. Joined in the same mind and the same judgment. Now, it's true that birds of a feather flock together. And it's true that you get your fellowship where your minds merge. If your minds are merging with my mind, and I'm doing the preaching, the teaching, then you're happy to be here. If you don't see what we see, then of course the people might not be so happy. I say, well, fine, go someplace where you're happy. Because look, maybe all we're going to get out of this life, some of us, is just a little bit of happiness somewhere somehow. So don't sit around and be unhappy thinking, you know, that something will work out. No, it shows again the power of the mind not to be subjected and intimidated, or for the sake of a spurious unity to attempt to have one mind. But Paul, as a legitimate prophet, apostle, teacher, was showing them what gave them the one mind. And some were saying, well, I believe Apollos this, and I believe Paul this, I mean Peter this and that and the other thing. And he said, that's not good. But I'm hoping, he said, that you could really get together. Now, this church hopes to be built upon that premise and that platform. We started out here several years ago, and we work on it. And we keep working, and by the grace of Almighty God, the people's minds will come more and more into what we understand. And it's like I get my phone calls, preachers phone me, people write letters and so on, not an awful lot. Mostly preachers tell me how their congregation is doing. And they are so thrilled about this last series on the perfect faith. And I must admit that I am too, because I never saw before what I see now, only knew something was there, but couldn't pinpoint it. And I tell you, brother, sister, this is bigger than we ever thought. And you know what does it? Sticking with this word. You've got to bring the mind to a place. Because if you don't have the right mechanical faith, you won't get the spiritual. If you don't have the right conduit, God will not pour the life of that word through it. So you've got to be the right conduit. You've got to have the right word. And you got the right Holy Ghost, something's going to happen. All right, 2:16. We read it. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now it tells you right here that Paul the Apostle, like William Branham, and William Branham was not quoting this, and yet he was quoting it. In 64 he said, Lee, all my thoughts are of God. William Branham had the mind of Christ. Now if we want to put on the mind of Christ, it's no big mystical thing. Well, I got to get doing this, or doing that, or feeling this. No, it isn't. It's listen to the teaching. That's all you can do. And if you're one of the lively stones, cut without hands, dermatized to God, so on all the metaphors you could use and figures of speech, you'll be there. You'll get it. Be no great problem. Okay, let's keep going. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And we'll take verse 17. And we'll read on. Now here is where the ministry comes in that perfects the saints. This is our day. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and so on, pastors, verse 11. Perfect the saints, work of the ministry, edify the body of Christ, and build it up till we all come in the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto perfect man, measure stature and fullness of Christ. Henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and so on and so on and so on. Okay. And the 16th verse, built up. Okay, 17, now watch. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. if you miss this and turn it down, you have a vain imagination. That's all you got. Because this was the authentic revelation. Now we're back to a greater revelation. Because this one, as Paul brought it, would not bring the resurrection. It only told of it. The resurrection we get will bring, the revelation we get, which is the shout, when the Lord himself descends from heaven, shout, brings about the resurrection. Now it says this, I say therefore, you don't listen to anything outside of what the prophet said. You wonder why I scream at you. I know what's going on. I get phone calls. More and more I get phone calls of preachers in adultery. It only shows exactly what they are. There's dead fish. Stinks all around the country. And people, they're supposed to know something. Well, I tell you, this is white throne, whether you want it or not. Now you can sit here and say, Brother Vail, be all you want, little kids. I'm going to tell you something. This is white throne. You do what you want about it. I don't care. It's your business. I cannot put you on his side and him on your side. White throne is set. So don't fool with this message. In other words, I keep warning and warning and exhorting. Once in a while, I use a bit of a club and I say, well, you do. I'll walk on you if you want. You fuss at me in my ministry. Get yourself somebody else. My ministry goes with me. And I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. I stand there with all my heart in this because I don't know which way to go. I've got myself so deep in this message with my mouth that I am hung. And there's no use me trying to lie and say, well, I didn't mean it. I got more thoughts now. I recant. I'm hung. See? You can be hung for goose or gander. It means the same thing. Now he said, therefore, I testify, Lord. I'm telling you now, is my testimony, since this is taking place in this hour, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their own mind. In vain do you worship me, having for doctrine the traditions of men. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves to lasciviousness to walk, who work all uncleanness with greediness. In other words, you can't stop it, like that bunch of jerks, homosexual perverts, reprobates, read on TV. We're going to do it. We're going to have fun doing it. And we're going to get AIDS. And you're going to curse. And you're going to pay for it. Because we're going to do it. White throne. Oh, that'll be paid. Those things will be paid. See that film yet? Right? Truth, I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. They laid her down. Well, I've laid her down too. I ain't paying for it. They want to go to hell, go to hell. That's your business. Past feeling. Without natural affection. You seen the People's Magazine this week? Take a look at it. Oh, not Jessica Hahn and Playboy. That's on the newsstands too. Pick up People Magazine. People. Oh, they're making a big presentation to Washington on the AIDS bit. And the men, the male lovers, making beautiful tapestries and things, celebrating their filth. And I'm supposed to get all misty-eyed and gooey with love and stuff. Well, they're destroying little babies, not yet born, and whole nations. God's going to purge this land of the Sodomites, my brother, sister, and don't you forget.
Amen.
And you kids hear my voice, too. You watch your sex. You'll be caught flat down, you mess around. You better get your lives all cleaned up. Make sure you keep your virginity, male and female. And that's no guarantee at this point. But it's the best you'll ever do. This is what the mind does, my brother, my sister. This is what the mind does. Filthiness of spirit. The Bible speaks of the spirit of the mind. This is what the best man can produce. But he said, you have not so learned Christ. If so be you heard him. That's Hebrews 12. Trust day, our day. And have been taught by him. As the truth is in Jesus. As Jesus the man, the anointing, Christ. As Brother Branham put it, we read it perfectly. Does the same thing today. Therefore put off concerning the former behavior of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, pleasures. The word lust I don't like, it means pleasures. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Get a new source of power there. Because your own spirit will just drag you plumb down into hell. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying. Speak every man the truth, his neighbor, for members one of another, and so on. Let's go to Colossians, the second chapter. 18th verse. Let no man beguile you of your reward in the voluntary humility and worshiping angels. Intruding of those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered, and knit together, increased the increase of God. What did Brother Branham say on discernment? Didn't he recognize the prophet? Who presents the head? The prophet. What do these men do come along after Brother Branham? Intruding into things which they don't even know what they're talking about. Acting as though they heard something or got something from God. Hogwash. I got nothing from God. Let me tell you, I got nothing from God. Oh, some little thing like, well, you know, maybe don't go downtown today. Get that from anybody else. Anybody get that. But some revelation. When the prophet brings the revelation, a puffed up mind. Oh, the prophet was wrong. I'll set you right and go to hell with you. This is the white throne, brother, sister. How many preachers understand white throne? Hardly anybody outside this church understands. I'll challenge that statement. I'd like to hear from the preachers. If I'm wrong, I want to know about it. Do they really know what the prophet said? I'm not boasting up. I'm just telling you the truth. Either Brother Branham told me I was what I was, or I ain't what I was. Amen. Why am I wasting my time? Why are you wasting your time? Let's go home. I'll give you money back. There's no money in the bank. How much do you want back? I don't want your money. It's white throne. It's going to burn. Sure, I got obligation. You got obligation. So let's put her down right. No fear of God before their eyes. No shame in his presence, although they're caught in your shame. Oh, the prophet made a mistake. Tell me where he made a mistake. Told you they don't know what he's talking about. Not holding the head. Which all the body by joints and bands having nourished and ministered knit together increase of love. Oh God, that's the same thing he said in Ephesians. The mind of man gets in there. He's got to add to it. Like I used to feel so sorry for these poor old guys. Well, you know, Brother Vale, the prophet with Brother Branham's a great man, but I had a vision too. You had a vision. Oh God. What was your vision? Some little tiddlywink thing. I'm on record of calling events just the way they are, brother, sister. Vision or no vision. And I have no vindication at all, except having been vindicated as a perfect jackass. At least I got some perfection. Can't buy. 1 Thessalonians 2:2. Versus 2 Thessalonians. No, it's 2 Thessalonians. I beseech you, brethren, verse 1, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together in Him, that's the message, that you not be soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor is that from us. Notice all those things that trouble your mind and get you out of contact with God. Out of serenity, out of peace, out of harmony, jangling, nerves, problems. Don't let your mind bug you. What did the prophet say to upset you? If it's upset you, then let's work on it. See? Okay, Titus 1:15. And a few other scriptures I suppose we could use. There might be one or two here. 1:15. But unto the pure all things are pure. But unto them which are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now that's the people that deny divine healing. Where's your Baptist Methodist bunch of them now? Church of Christ. Reprobates. Abominable. Unbelieving. Completely defiled. No wonder Brother Branham said, nothing outside this message will come to life. And yet people want to feel nice and good about people. Or even Pete gets upset. He's not as bad as I am. Because he ain't up here much then. He gets upset that people come by and visit him. And say, well, there's some lovely people there, you know. They must be something there that's good. And preaching against the prophet, preaching sex and every rotten sin, congregation indulging. And a few people sitting around kind of pie-faced and thinking, so therefore the guy must be okay. Don't you ever come to this church feeling that way about Lee Vale. You have to be sick, sick, sick. This is White Throne, kid. I'm telling you. Your blood's on your own hands coming here. Don't come here with any thoughts, well, he's a nice guy. I am not a nice guy. Let's face it. A fella said, are you as mean as you look or as mean as you are? Well, I hope as mean as I am. I hate to be as mean as I look. My Lord, that'd be pitiful. But let's understand the truth here. This is what the Bible teaches. And I'm teaching you the Bible. Look to the head. Look to the Christ of God that's here, brother, sister. The headship doesn't lie in Lee Vale. I'm no authority. When have I ever pointed you to anybody but William, but Jesus Christ and William Branham? Never have and never will by the help of Almighty God. Of course, I believe my ministry. That's not using a negative, bring around a positive, make you feel good. Well, we'll trust him anyway. That's not what I'm saying. I believe I've got a ministry. I believe what the prophet said. I believe the flame of fire. Witness is the pillar of fire. That's why I'm here. You do what you want about it. I just preach it. I can't do a thing about it myself. Unless God shows me something. But I believe I've got a ministry to perform. And it's been performed over the years. Check it out and see. Whoever worked with the prophet wrote the books and did the things that I've done. Go ahead and check for yourself. Who'd he say to go and see, talk to a doctor? Oh, that doesn't matter anymore, see. Listen, I knew it then. I know it more than I've ever known it. I'll stand with it. Oh, brother, sister, listen, we're getting so close to the millennium and the things of God. I wish you could feel what I feel. And maybe you feel 10 times as much as I do. I've got calluses on my soul. There's no doubt about it. Okay. Many scriptures I could bring to your attention. But let's just talk a little bit. We'll close. Because I don't want to keep you late. I wouldn't be late myself anyway, to tell you the honest truth. How that wrong thinking, which is wrong use of the mind, will destroy the power of faith and will render it void. And how the great prophet Abraham got by with a body that utterly denied every concept that God had presented. And he just went marching on. Okay. Romans 4, verse 13, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now this must be a true statement, reliable, to base our faith life on, our faith thought life on, as did Abraham. You understand what I'm saying? Abraham didn't simply jump from nothing to something. Brother Branham said, you got to do something to make something happen. Throw the rock in the air, right? Cause a suction being on the earthquake. Okay? Or first of all, the whirlwind. Cause the whirlwind. Okay. For they which are of the law, if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made to none effect. Now he's talking about Abraham and the promise. And bringing the son. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Now Paul, that's what Paul said. He said, in me, he said, I bet the law is the right thing. I know it's a good thing. But boy, it sure gives me trouble, he said, because I don't seem to have the power to get the thing working right. Verse 16, therefore it is the faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all. As is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, and he wasn't the father of nothing. Before him whom he believed, even God. notice what he had to believe, who quickens the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were, who was going to restore him seminally speaking, because he was now incapable of inseminating anything, who, when hope was gone, believed on in hope. In other words, there was no use expecting. Kaput, gone. But he did it anyway, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now this is not through anything that you are doing yourself, but it is something God promised you in spite of yourself, and you hold on to it. You follow what I said, and that's a pretty good statement. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Now, could anybody say tonight that we are weak in faith when we've got the perfect revelation for this hour? Now that's the thing. We think we're weak in faith. We're not. There never was a time we're stronger. Because that which is perfect has come. And that's the perfect revelation of this hour. And the perfect revelation is the Lord himself has descended with a shout to give us a conduit for the release of the power of that word, resurrection. Yes, sir. Tell you, you could say a word like Robin, 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 Robin. Pretty soon you conjure up Robin, you might know. Say resurrection, 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 resurrection. Let it begin to read. Hey, it's here, it's here, it's here. In other words, words are tremendously fantastic in their power. Now, this is the promise of Abraham. Not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead. He was 100 years old. She was 90. He never considered the deadness of Sarah's womb. Nothing fazed the old boy. He said, look, I didn't make the promise. God made the promise. He said he'd do it. Then it's up to God. Well, he said, well, God better be in a hurry, old boy, because according to what I look at you right now, you'll be seminally dead if you aren't already. He ain't got nothing to do with it. The promise of God does not depend upon my body. It depends upon God. Yes, sir. He staggered not Sarah's trouble. He staggered not at unbelief. Because that promise was just too far-fetched. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now notice, from the time he believed, for the next 25 years it took him to come to full persuasion. What if it takes us 25 years before the rapture? 25 to 1965, 1990. Not very more than much to go. In 1990, they say the big depression is going to hit, make everything else look like a Sunday school picnic. Is everything coming together? It sure could be. Now, personally, I'd like to speed it up a bit. I don't say that's my prerogative. Nobody's prerogative. You've got to wait for God. Okay, so you can see here that he turned the negative into the positive by refusing to deal with the negative because the negative had dealt with him and it wasn't worth a hoot. So he said, forget it. There's no use dwelling on the fact that you owe $500,000. You better start looking for somebody to get you out of debt of $500,000, which really means you look for $1,000,000, then have the $500,000 you haven't got that you should have. Okay. Let's look at James 1 and 8. Let's look at 6. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That word in the Greek is double-soul man. In other words, you make a decision all the time. Decision, decision. Today I believe, tomorrow I don't. Today I believe, tomorrow I don't. Back and forth, back and forth. The mind. Okay. Let's go to Hebrews 11. I think. No. Beg your pardon. Hebrews not 11 yet. No. Hebrews 3. Beginning verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. Not profession. Confession means to say the same thing as. So I am confessing. I'm saying the same thing as. Say, confess your sin, so I tell you what the sin is. You said your sin is so, I confess it. If it isn't the same sin, I can't confess it. Confess me, say the same thing as Jesus Christ, who is faithful to him that appointed it. Also Moses was in all his house. And so on. For this man is counted worthy of more glory than most, inasmuch as he that built the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Moses was verily faithful in all his house, as a servant and testimony of those things which should be spoken after. But Christ is son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now, that's exactly what it says in Hebrews here, that, I beg your pardon, Romans. That fifth chapter we looked at a long time ago. Remember, we studied it on character, trial of our faith, not a long time ago. Verse 3, knowing also that we glory, we rejoice, glory in tribulation, knowing tribulation works endurance, which is experience, and brings on character. And hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in the heart. See the circle you go through there. You glory in it. See? The things of Almighty God. All right. We read that one. Let's take a look at Hebrews 11 chapter. And verse 15. Notice that these people here, they came out of the loins of Abraham, who was going to find the city which was made of God. And it said that, look, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. They couldn't, wasn't ready, see. But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Now that's happened for seven church ages. Now we're there. And truly, if they'd been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they would have gone back. In other words, we create our opportunities to go ahead with God or go back by what we think and what we say. See? But now they desire a better country, a heavenly. Wherefore God's not ashamed to be called their God. He hath prepared for them a city. What you're looking at here is God will back up his word on your lips, in your heart, and in your mind. So, that's what we're looking at tonight, and I don't want to go any further than this because I think we've gone far enough. We might possibly read over here in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, I think, is what I'm after. if I can find this little place where I saw it. Now, let's see. Proverbs. Now, Proverbs 3. We'll go to Proverbs 3. That might be all right. Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart, verse 1, keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It'll be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It tells you right here that I get your health back. It has everything to do with the mind. The psychosomatic diseases, they claim, are maybe responsible for 90% of all diseases. What does stress come from? Well, I realize that stress has its roots, much of it in the fact there's nothing left in the soil. But stress has its roots also in the fact that we don't know how to cope with life. We're not doing it, pardon me, because the preachers the churches have deserted the word of Almighty God. And so what you're getting is just a bunch of so-called psychology, which is hogwash. You're not getting it. So when you look at faith in the mind, you realize this important truth. The mind is not neutral. It is like a fulcrum. And a board is sitting on it. And depends on which end of the board you pile the thoughts of your mind. Now if you pile the thoughts of your mind on the glory end, which is the word of Almighty God, it'll tip the scales right up in your behalf and my behalf. But the mind is ever so important. And remember, it is tragically and wonderfully functional. I just barely covered some of the thoughts. Next thing, we'd have to go into something like confession. All those things have to do with the mind. But really, the fact of the matter lies in this. As Brother Brown has said, the battle of Armageddon literally lies in the mind. Many a person had a great battle of his mind until he sold out to this message. Once you sell to the message, you watch how the mind begins developing in line with the Word of God. Now, when this message comes, Hebrews says, that's Hebrews 13 and 8. You don't throw away Mark 16 or any of the other promises. You just know that now the perfect has come and manifested. We showed you so clearly in perfect faith. So look, if God spared not his own son, but delivered up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? If the greater is here, Hebrews 13:8, how much more Mark 16? So if you remember that, please let's take it home with us, and let's try to specialize a little more. I'll be honest, I have let down over the years of teaching on this subject. I have let down. I used to preach an hour and a half a night for maybe 22 nights in a row. And people walked out of the building healed. People that couldn't sit there all night, bad backs, weak kidneys, sat all night and said, hey, I'm healed. Come next day and say, hey, you really believe me? So what couldn't you do before? Well, they couldn't do this. How long? 20 years. Are you doing it? Yeah, last 40. So well, aren't you healed? I said, my God, man, that's not healing. What have you got? Wheelchair's empty. But I don't push for that anymore. But I want to try to push a little bit in some of these messages because I see Brother Branham did. To help us to understand, look, we are literally without excuse. And we literally don't need an excuse. Why would we want an excuse when we don't need one? My goodness me, if somebody says, come and pick all the pears off my tree you want, I'm not going to bother growing pears. I'm coming to eat off your tree. I like that. I hope you enjoy me coming to get the pears off your tree. Well, that's what we're looking at tonight. You know, we're seeing God has provided the great thing. And so we can reach out. Honestly, can reach out. By what God has laid down. Let's not forget anything the prophets have, but move in on healing in all aspects. On all aspects. I'd like to believe that we can do this. I'd like to believe with the Apostle John that we may prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. And brother, sister, if anybody's got a prosperous soul today, we ought to be the ones. And John's prayer for us lies there in the word of Almighty God. And how true he said it. If we know that God hears us, he said. He said, if we ask anything concerning his will, we know that he hears it. And if we know that he hears, we know we have the petition we desire him, whatever, what we may ask. So all of you now, of course, there's a lot of ramifications there on the ground of character building and all. The things are there, but God's delays are not God's denials, as one person so well put. But we can begin to see some of these things in faith. That there are points in here that we have to look into and keep aware of. I know I have to myself. As I be honest, I let down over the years because I am not called to a faith healing ministry. I got in it to prove a point, and I thank God he was good to let me prove a point. I thank God let me prove many points of faithfulness, of his faithfulness. I appreciate that so much. But that doesn't mean for 1 minute that the people in this church cannot be healed. Take, as he said, this message we need because it's the perfect message. It's substance for everything. Let's go ahead and be said. Gracious Father, we want to thank and praise you again for your love and your kindness to us. We appreciate your being with us this evening service, Lord. We know that you're here with your word, and we know, Lord, that your word has not been in vain. We're positive, Lord, that it's been fallen in good ground. We don't believe there's one person here that's not good ground tonight. Good ground, Lord, well fertilized and watered, and the word of God can come forth, Lord. I look for it in my life too, and I'm asking you, Lord, in people's behalf, if not for my own, but even more for them, that you'd help my mind to come under absolute control of your word, Lord, even as they want their minds also to do, not only for their good, but for others, that we may be lights in a dark place, giving forth your light, your life, and your whatever. Be it Brother Claus needs to go down to ministry this weekend, Lord, the people in Carolinas, we pray that whatever may be there, you'll be more than sufficient to meet it, and the people together, Lord, will rise to every occasion to go on with you, Lord, to seek your face, and to just be so happy that they could come together and worship you, Lord, be a mutual comfort, admonition, consolation one another with the grace of God flowing. Father, we pray that. Keep your love with us here also at the same time. May we just love more and more thee, O God, and love thee more and more, and each other more and more, because that word is releasing the love of God in our hearts, minds, and lives, even coming through in our bodies, Lord. Let that be, Father. I know that's a prayer you want us to pray, Lord, and now you want us to stand with us. With it, oh God, help us to stand with it. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.